Blog Talk Radio.
They are beside themselves. And welcome back to the garage right here at Frat House Sports, a radio network. Listen, in the world of NASCAR right now, everybody is starting to wonder, not least of which has to be Jimmy Johnson and that crowd out there with Hendrick Motorsports. You know, there was a lot of call this last week. Oh, the fix is in, man. The fix is in. And they play it both sides. I've read on one side, well, the fix is in because Johnson's out. I've read that the fix is in because, well, Johnson should have been in, but he's out. Oh, my goodness. I can't even... Holy crow. Yes, indeed. Welcome back. Right here, Race Trim Motorsports Hour. We're coming to you on Friday evening ahead of the Saturday night race. This will be the last one, folks, that we do on a Friday evening with you this year at our Frat House Sports Radio Network, because Charlotte represents the last Friday night race. From here out through the chase, in NASCAR, we're going to run on Sunday morning, probably. You know, 11 o'clock is our quote. I put it in quotes, you know, regular time. But tonight we're going to come to you on Friday evening, and we're going to try to get you up to speed. There's no NHRA this week. This is the week off. We heard from Frat House Mike a week ago that we're going to start to go every other week in the countdown for the championship. So I have no NHRA update to bring you, this Frat House Mike, this evening. So we're going to kind of tune in to the NASCAR side of things. We didn't really touch last week on NASCAR Xfinity. We're going to try and bring you up to speed on what's going on there. Additionally, Camping World Truck Series ran a week ago. I didn't really get you up to speed on that, so I'll try and get you up on what's going on with that as well as we go through the evening. But obviously, looking at last week ago, we had the cutdown. The cutdown occurred, and, you know, there it was, the Monster Mile. The Monster Mile proved to be a monster. What was surprising, obviously, as I opened with, was Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson not being in the chase. You know, Mr. Sixth Time. We're not going to see Mr. Sixth Time come through and make a run in 2015. So that is a bit of a surprise. I guess, you know, for those that are, you know, sort of jaded to, hackneyed to the idea of there's real competition, I'm going to be the first one to admit I'm disappointed that Jamie McMurray is not going forward. This was his first entree into the chase format. I mean, my goodness, he's been trying after this for very near 8 or 10 years. to get into the Chase format as we have known it. And here he is on the outside looking in, and I was a bit dismayed by his comments, which essentially boiled down to, well, you know, we gave it our best shot, and we were just trying to make the Chase, and that's what we did. So I'm tempted almost to call Jamie McMurray as a fraud.
Obviously, we've got to do a better job.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, somebody should. So that was an issue. But at the same time, you know, I'll give it credit on the other side. His compadre, Kyle Larson, was right there again last week. And who is he running against? The other Kyle? Oh, boy. That made some great competition a week ago. Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch. Yeah, there was some heated stuff going on there, and I was liking that. Because, you know, again, I'm going to, I guess, hedge on the side of, you know, CGR. I was really counting on those guys to come in and play a position. Other fall-offs, Paul Menard, okay. Richard Childress didn't see advance with Paul Menard. He, too, first time in. You might have thought. Evidently not. We all remember last year ago, Ryan Newman of the same camp, able to make it on essentially running strong and running competitively without winning. So perhaps Paul Menard fell prey to the idea. All I got to do is compete. All I got to do is show up. That'll be enough. So there went number three. And, of course, number four, we can kick it around, I guess, the block. Clint Bowyer, Michael Waltrip Racing. We've already known pretty much the whole year that Michael Waltrip Racing was pretty much dead on arrival. They weren't going too far. At the same time, there had been some history there, and given the, I guess, denouement, but he might have had a shot to make some noise here, but no, evidently not. Evidently not. He too fell to the bottom. What we did see, and of course, you know, with NASCAR, stock car racing, those that love it, those that hate it, all the in-between, has created a great deal of fervor. I mean, the number four car had to win, and all he did was go out and win. So, in fact, that's what he did. He burned up the car. He tore up the car in celebration. And, of course, that created a little bit of post-race, you know, what is this now? See, he's trying to avoid post-race inspection. See? Well, he passed post-race inspection. As it turned out, there was nothing ne'er-do-well about what Harvick did. What was all too well was the fact that Harvick went out there starting from, what, the top 10, top 12 in that position range and won the thing. Pretty outstanding. Gotta say, pretty outstanding. In addition to some of that, of course, we're going to be heading to, you know, our next race. Now, a year ago, interestingly enough, we weren't heading to Charlotte. We were heading to Kansas. This is the last switch up of the year, 2014 through versus 2015. So a year ago, we went to Kansas. This year, we're going to Charlotte, and then we go to Kansas versus vice versus vices versus vices versus, if you can keep up with me. So what's wonderful about it is that it gives a little different dimension, at the same time, we're looking at qualifying, and qualifying seems to be all about Toyota, seems to be all about TRD. It still seems to be all about dominance of Joe Gibbs Racing. Anybody out there want to yawn, you may feel free to do so, and I'm not mad at you. If you like TRD, if you like Joe Gibbs, give me a call, 347-826-9964. Tell me why. If you don't, if you're tired of them, if you think it's all nonsense, likewise, give us a call, 347-826-9964. And before we get out of here, I will touch on Xfinity in terms of where we stand going into the weekend. They are running this evening at 8 p.m. Right there at Charlotte. Camping World Truck, likewise, I didn't touch on last week. I want to give it a little update as to where we are from last week ago. And Austin Terrio, was involved in a nasty accident a week ago. I did not have time to touch on that, and I would like to just kind of bring us up to speed on where Austin Terrio and the Camping World Truck Series, how that looks, how that shapes up, and, you know, possibly what his future looks like going forward. And, of course, we'll have some NASCAR fantasy chat, and, of course, we'll be leaning on Sidekick, I would imagine. And Sidekick, I'll throw it to you because I believe your microphone is open, Sidekick. So what do you say?
Well, allow me to start off this wonderful Friday evening show with a rendition of Na 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 Na, Hey Hey, Say Goodbye. I am so happy to see Mr. Clint Boyer out of the Jace. So,
had enough of Clint, have you?
Yeah. You know, I'm sorry. I hope karma follows this fine young gentleman. Anyway, so you're running off the names there of the people that got cut, and not really surprised. They were kind of more pretenders than they were contenders. With the exception of Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson kind of surprises me that he's out. And actually, when we talked last week, you had three names that were kind of surprising, is names that were like, uh-oh, are they going to make it or are they not going to make it? You know, we were talking about Kevin Harvick. Is he going to make it? Kyle Busch, is he going to make it? And Jimmy Johnson, was he going to make it? And lo and behold, Harvick comes out, does what he's never done before, and that is tame the Monster Mile and win. Kurt Busch put in a good performance. He was able to squeak in there, passing Jamie McMurray. And then, unfortunately, a $5, Pep Boys part keeps Jimmy Johnson from advancing.
Evidently, Sidekick, somebody said, I guess, it looks like you blew a seal, and he said, well, no, actually, I was eating some melting ice cream. So,
there must have been some taco in his car. But, Jimmy's of the cut list. Jimmy is probably the most surprising name that, obviously got cut. But that doesn't mean you're not going to see Jimmy. It's not like, we're still going to see Jimmy. Jimmy's still going to be a threat to win races. He's just not going to be a threat to win another championship this year.
Acknowledged. Now, throw it over to Brandon, our crew chief, if I may. Now, Brandon, it came down to about 10 to go. The race was on essentially between Junior and Jamie McMurray, and Junior got it. I mean, that's how close he was to himself finding, wow, I'm on the outside looking in, and that might have been a very big news story, no?
No, yeah, I think it was only 1 point, too, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it was 1 point difference, you know, between the two because they were running third and fourth. So that's how close it was. That was, you know, that would have been bad. I mean, you'd have seen Jimmy Johnson and Dale Jr. go for Hendrick Racing. That would have been big news. But, you know, luckily for Junior Nation, which I'm part of, I consider myself a junior fan, he moves on. And hopefully it'll give him the, you know, like a kick in the pants and motivate him and the team to, you know, do a little bit more in this chase. I'd like to see him, you know, maybe even win a race. I mean, Talladega is always good for him, but he's got to get another round to get to that. So
Right. Yep.
Hopefully they can string together some good runs at these next couple tracks. You know, and the other, you know, like as you pointed out, there were a lot of surprises. I mean, I don't think Clint Boyer was a big surprise considering he was kind of in the same boat as Harvick. The only way he was going on was to win. You know, I mean, Jimmy being gone, McMurray's been pretty consistent all year. You know, and Paul Menard, you know, they've been in a points position like forever, it seems. And they just, you know, they kind of finished where they've been, I guess, essentially. You know, in that bottom four of the chasers. I mean, that's kind of where they've been all year. So that was kind of apropos, I suppose.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I mean, you know, here we saw a couple names that came through in the clutch, and you mentioned, obviously, Junior for HMS. I mean, Casey Kane hasn't been anywhere all year. I mean, what do you suppose? Casey Kane actually runs better when the pressure's off, maybe, Casey Kane. He looks actually strong going into this evening's Xfinity race, and he's running for, interestingly enough, he's driving the 88 for Junior Motorsports. You know, some of these guys can really dig in, possibly, at crunch time, and other guys, they fade at crunch time. But once the pressure is kind of removed, it's a funny thing. You know, if you want to say cream rises, well, the cream rises, I guess, at the wrong time, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I feel bad for Casey Kane. He seems like he's always in the wrong place at the wrong time. They can never seem to get any momentum going. So, you know, maybe now, I mean, he is good on these mile and a half, so it's not a surprise he's going to run strong at Charlotte, that's for sure.
Well, now, I'm looking back to last year ago. And, of course, last year ago, you know, as I said, coming into the show open, you know, we swapped the locations. We actually came into Kansas, then we went to Charlotte. Now, in this case, we're going to Charlotte, and then we went to Kansas, so that's fine. You know, not for nothing, the race winner a year ago was, you know, Kevin Harvick. How big a momentum push, or am I being naive, does getting this race win to secure into the contender round make Kevin Harvick now look going into Charlotte? I mean, is there something to it, or flip a coin?
Well, if you look back at the, you know, the mile and a half tracks this year under this rules package, Stuart Haas, you know, they pretty much owned it. So, you know, I think it looks good for Harvick for sure. I mean, he's definitely got momentum on his side. I think Kurt Busch is going to be another one to keep an eye on. I think that team might get a little, you know, subliminal push from Harvick's win. I think that was good for the whole team. So I definitely think, yeah, those are guys to keep an eye on anyway.
Mm-hmm. What say you, Sidekick? I mean, it's been Toyota dominance. Are we going to continue to see Toyota dominance? I mean, as far as qualifying went, we've got Kenseth coming from number one. We've got Kyle, number two on the inside. You know, Denny Hamlin's running from five. Holy crow. I mean, Carl Edwards is running from eight. Toyota is not to be, like, taken for granted, but at the same time, is there an expiration, or are these guys a fait accompli? I mean, they are the only stable right now of four drivers that have all of them in there. What do you make of TRD and Toyota right now?
NASCAR is throwing Toyota a bone because Michael Waltrip is getting out.
Wow. Okay.
There's a conspiracy theory for you.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, you know what? That's, you know, not for anything. I think there's a great deal of people out there that would probably agree with that.
But no, it just seems like they've got their, you know, stuff together. And Hendrick, you know, it's interesting coming into Charlotte because I would ordinarily say this is kind of a more of a Chevy track and more specifically a Hendrick's type of track than a Toyota track. But, I mean, you know, there they are. They're up there, all them Toyotas. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see as we advance, you know, as we go through, if Toyota keeps it going and if Chevy can rebound and get their stuff together and actually start being a little bit more competitive.
Obviously, there's not a great deal of surprise, I guess, gentlemen, from, you know, Menard and Bowyer not making it. How surprising is it that Gordon made it? And let me ask you, I mean, do you suppose we're going to see a win? There are some that have conjectured over the next three races, these are possibly the next three best locations for Gordon to grab a win and maybe secure, you know, control of the contender round going into the final, you know, the final eight, the eliminator eight. Any thoughts on that? I mean, Gordon, we haven't seen a win all year. Is it time for this guy? Or should we just say, well, hey, listen, it's flip a coin with Jeff Gordon. It's been that way all year.
No, I think you gotta think Hendrick's gonna push all their resources, you know, behind Gordon and Earnhardt now that Johnson's out. So you gotta look at Gordon as a, you know, potential, you know, front runner. I think he'd like to go out, you know, in style. I think I almost think the whole, you know, everybody in the grandstands and watching on TV would like to see Gordon win. I think it'd be a very popular win. I think it'd be very reminiscent to Kyle's, you know, win after he came back from his injury, where everybody was, you know, on board with it. Even the haters were, you know, giving him a hand. I think you might see that same kind of thing with Gordon if he gets one in the chase here. And you know, who knows? You get one, you get some momentum. We've seen Tony Stewart do it before in the chase. You know, you catch fire at the right time. It's all it takes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like your thought there, actually, Brandon, because, you know, I mean, I would like to see Tony Stewart actually, just for, I guess, our own personal reasons that we've discussed through the show, I would love to see Tony Stewart grab a victory away from all these guys that are actually in the quote contender round. What's your take there, Sidekick? And let me springboard it from Gordon to Martin Truex, because I guess he would be the other one that I would bookend from Gordon. Despite the fact that Truex does have a win, Martin Truex Jr. has not done anything lately. He's leaving Chevy, and we already talked about a week ago, he's going to Toyota. Between a Gordon or a Truex, do you see one or both or neither possibly advancing into that Eliminator 8 sphere?
Good question. I guess Truex not advancing would not surprise me. Gordon, I think, will probably advance. The thing with Gordon is Gordon's got to stay consistent and stay up front. You know, that's kind of the thing with, you know, yeah, you get your win and you automatically advance to the next round. If you can't get that win, if you can at least consistently run in the front, towards the front of the pack, you'll stay clear and be able to advance as well. You know, really, it's when we get to the next round to where we knock out, you know, the next four, you know, and we, you know, we go into the, you know, our final four drivers. That's the one where it gets a little bit more dicey, because right now you're talking about, you know, you got 12 drivers. You know, we cut from 16. We're down to 12 now. And, you know, you only got three races.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, the potential for a non-chaser to steal a win is there. I mean, we are at Charlotte, and you have Jimmy Johnson. You know, which then means, you know, that's one less win now that a chaser can get to advance. So I think right now, you still, as long as you're consistent, you'll be all right. You definitely can't have any screw-ups, a la Jimmy Johnson last week, or Kevin Harvick, you know, or Kyle Busch. You know, the margin of error is getting slimmer now. So.
Yeah, acknowledged. Yeah, I acknowledge that. And, you know, we've all, gentlemen, we've all kind of falling into and passed around a warm and fuzzy thought during the year, and this is a long year in NASCAR Sprint Cup season. This is a very, very long season. But we've all kind of shared around at different times the idea that, well, you know, it's Gordon's last go-round. It would be nice to see the guy get fill in the blank. Well, now we're getting down to it. So, obviously with JJ out of the mix, I guess I could buy into what you're proposing there, Sidekick, from the standpoint of, well, who is the next biggest hitter in your roster? Well, it would have to be Gordon. However, right behind has to be Junior, come on. This is the number one driver, popularity-wise, I mean, bar none, unless you want to cross gender. Interesting dynamic, what's going on there with Hendrick. At the same time, let me ask you this, and I'm just going to ask this completely off the top of my head, off the cuff, and you can answer however you want. Was the fix in for four to get the win last week? He predicted it, and it happened. The car got tore up. It passed post-race inspection, but was the fix in as four being a Hendrick car without necessarily being a, quote, Hendrick car? Any takers?
Well, you hear all the stories.
I know. Go ahead. Let me have it.
It's the same kind of deal, though. If you remember last year, Keselowski did a similar deal where he had no choice but to win, and he won a race at Talladega last year.
Yeah, right. I believe you're right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's not unprecedented that somebody who, you know, absolutely had to race their way in did it. You know, as far as the post-race thing, I'm getting kind of sick and tired of you know, these guys tearing their cars up, you know, between ripping the, burning the tires down so far that you got pieces, you know, left when you're getting there. I think NASCAR should step in and say, hey, you know what, celebrate, but let's try to keep the car in one piece.
I don't think that's NASCAR. I think that's the car owner saying, hey, how about not tearing up my car there, dude?
Well, think about it from a car owner point of view, though, Dave. If something's off and you wreck it celebrating and it hides it, you're better off. I mean, let's just say, for example, my car was, you know,
absolutely,
1/16 of an inch low in the back. And, you know, Harvick slides down and slams the back end into the pit wall and bashes it all up. Well, now you're never going to know how high the car is at because it's all bent up now. You know, you think about it from that point of view. You know, look at some of these penalties, you know, these guys get. You know what? It may be worth a couple bucks to not have to worry about that.
Okay, party pooper.
I'm sorry.
Or as Frat House Mike says, Commissioner Brandon wants no end zone celebrations.
No. I'm not saying they can't celebrate. Do your burnout. You know, a reasonable burnout. You don't have to sit there and just lay on it till you blow all the tires, though. I mean, I think that gets a little, you know, overkill. You know what I'm saying?
No, listen, and that's why I mentioned it, because I tend to agree. If what we're going to present is nothing but, you know, marbles, we're going to present marbles in the garage. That's what's left of tires. That's what's left of, you know, wheels or whatever the case might be. Well, then, I don't know necessarily you're getting a good post-race inspection. At the same time, let me ask you this. Dude, both of you, Frat House Mike, too, commenting. Our friend of the show, Liz, who's listening. We have pre-race inspection, post-race inspection, pre-qualifying inspection, post-qualifying inspection. How many more inspections do we really need? And doesn't that by itself just lend to the whole idea of chicanery and nonsense? I mean, can we get to like one or two and call it a day? Or am I completely nuts?
Be careful what you ask for there, Uncle Mark, because, you know, coming next season, we will have pit road inspections during your pit stops. Yeah, that'll be the next thing. You know?
I hear you.
They'll have those cameras with the special NSA lasers that'll be, you know, laser inspecting the vehicles, you know. I mean, for crying out loud. I think it's a lot, you know, here's where people are starting to get a little bit out of hand with the whole NASCAR thing. Everybody wants, and I poked fun at it towards the beginning of the show, but, you know, everybody wants to make a conspiracy about NASCAR, either the fix is in on the four or,
right,
you know, there's some sort of chicanery here or, we're doing burnouts to hide the fact that we were manipulating our car and we're, just race, guys. Come on now. And all the fans sitting at home, stop trying to come up with stuff about why your favorite driver didn't get in. Your favorite driver just wasn't good enough. Face it. You know?
Yeah, and I'll be right there with you, Sidekick, quite frankly, because, you know, Jamie McMurray couldn't have let me down more than telling the media post-race, well, you know, we really wanted to just get into the chase for the first time, and he's pumping his fist into the air. Oh, gosh, oh, golly. No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's
not going to do it for me. You know,
I'm
oh, gosh,
just so happy
golly
to be here.
Yeah, exactly.
How are you?
Yeah.
It's a participation trophy. We got to get a participation trophy.
There you go.
Jamie.
You play to win the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone find that driver some testicles.
I'm not going to lie. I got to be honest. You know, I was suddenly singing back all those McDonald's jingles I had heard in my lifetime as a youth growing up. And at the same time then, I was springboarding those off of Kyle Larson running hard with Kyle Busch, and I love that. I mean, in the last 35, Kyle Larson and Kyle Busch, that was, to me, that was the race. And I loved what Larson was doing, and that's his teammate. But Larson wasn't in it, and of course McMurray was, and there's McMurray at the end saying, well, gee, it was really fun, but, and I'm saying, you know what, dude, you got to tell me more than...
I'm an excellent driver.
Yeah, you got to tell me something more than that. I mean, I don't know. That's just me.
Well, gosh darn, Wally. Yeah. I'm just so hard. I'm just so glad to be here. Well, Beaver. Come on. You know, let's go start. Someone's been hitting the yoga mat too hard, I think.
Yeah, well, that might be the case. I'm really not.
I don't do that!
Maybe that's what he would say. Yeah, that's probably more like it. If you have a thought or if you're out there listening to us, give us a call, 347-826-9964. We're chatting a little bit of NASCAR here, and we're going to the top of the hour. So we've got about 20 minutes to go. So if you would like to join in, please feel free to do so. There is no NHRA for us to chat tonight. We will return with that update next week. However, I'll try and get you up to speed on Xfinity and Camping World Trucks before we get out of here at the top of the hour. And there will be some, we got to have some fantasy chat. Let's see, where can I go from here? I'm kind of running through my outline. I mean, the outline was pretty straightforward. We're going into, obviously, the count of 12 now. Gentlemen, let me ask you this. If you wanted to throw a name, one of the 12, and I've shared over with you on the outline, who do you think in the contender round of 12, who is the most likely not to make it into the Eliminator 8? Give me a name. Give me your wildest guess there. Brandon, who is not going to make it, do you think, out of 12 to 8?
Just looking at performance only, because obviously you can't predict if somebody's going to have a problem. You got to go Ryan Newman. I don't see RCR just hasn't had it all year. Maybe even lump in Truex being a satellite RCR car. It's going to be Stewart, Haas, Hendrick, Penske, Gibbs. Those are going to be minimum seven of the eight that move on are all going to be from those teams. And Penske better get their, butts in gear, because Keselowski and Logano haven't been looking as sporty as they have been, earlier this year and last year. So they need to, maybe pick it up a little bit. You got to think Ford is, going all out with those two, because that's their only bright spot in the whole sport right now is that. I mean, they don't have anything running really in trucks. And I guess the Roush team's pretty good in Xfinity. I think one of them's leading it. I think Buescher's a Roush Ford.
Yep.
So they're doing all right in that series, but in the big series they certainly Roush is an afterthought anymore. That's who I'd go with. I would go with the two quote unquote children's cars as potential outs. What do you think, Sidekick?
Yep.
You're going to hate me, but I'm going to go with Newman and Junior.
Uh-oh. I'm not going to hate you.
Those are my two guys that I'm a little concerned about. Because I got a feeling the pesky Penskys are going to squeak in here. But, yeah, I and shortly above that would be Truex Jr. So, I, you know, the rest of the guys look, and, you know, we reset everything at this point, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, the 12 are all right. Equal now.
Yep.
So, you know, and then we, you know, so we go. But like I said, so those are my three, would be Truex Jr., Newman, and Jr. And obviously, I'm sure there's going to be a surprise. Oh, wow. Didn't think he'd be out. But there'll be somebody.
How about this? Surprise. Here's a conspiracy theory for you. How about Jimmy Johnson maybe punting Harvick to get back at him for, you know, a couple of weeks ago? You know, that would be what you consider more or less something very interesting that could shake out. You know, some retaliation from, you know, earlier events in the season.
Potentially.
I mean, I just that one comes to mind because the video, you know, happened to go around to the quote unquote punch to the chest. It's kind of more of a, you know, mildly aggressive shove, I think. But, you know,
yeah.
NASCAR's got to pump it up as best they can.
Well, to be honest, I don't think Jimmy Johnson has the balls to do it. He may be from El Cajon or wherever that is, but I think he lacks the cojones to do it. So
you don't want, you know what though? I'm really split there on that one because I'll be honest with you, I might agree with on he might lack the stuff to do it, but I'm right with Brandon from the standpoint of Johnson made no threat against Harvick. Harvick was the one that said, hey, you know what? Hey, if I don't make this, he can watch out. And I think it would be awesome because I really don't care, quite frankly, either way, how it would go down. I just think it would be awesome if that would be, in fact, played out just from the standpoint of, well, NASCAR is becoming more and more WWE. So that's what they would need to do in order to grab all of the post race viewership that they could possibly grab. You know, it's funny looking at it. I guess speaking for myself, I'm not sure Kurt Busch advances, so he might be one of those that might not make it were I to have to call who might not go forward. We'll see. Who else? Jeff Gordon. Not real sure about Jeffy. I guess 41 and 24 would be my two bets that may not make it. And then, you know, beyond that, you know, as we've said, I mean, it might be mechanical, it might be situational, it might be something else that would prevent going forward. But I'm not convinced about Gordon, and I'm really not convinced about Kurt Busch, although he has run strong. I'm not convinced yet that he's the guy that's going to necessarily be able to trim out and get into the final eight. So, be interesting. Anybody out there want to...
Here you go, Uncle Mark. Let me ask you this one. Let me flip the table on you.
Yep.
Do you think all four Gibbs advance? Or Brandon can jump in on that one, too.
Right.
Do you think we potentially lose one of the Gibbs? Or do you think all four of them guys make it to the next round as they all skip through the infield?
I don't think all four make it. I think one of them will have a problem in these next three. Probably Hamlin or Edwards, because I think Kenseth and Kyle are more consistent and not you know, prone for the, you know, the getting tied up in somebody else's accident kind of thing. So,
well, but Kyle was on the line.
Yeah, Kyle was.
You know, in the last round, so, you know, I mean, he may have gotten it out of his system. You know what I mean? Like, yo, okay, dude, you had your mulligan.
Well, somebody,
right, yeah, right.
There's going to be another Jimmy Johnson type, you know, surprise in the cuts. There's no way the bottom three are going to be, you know, the ones everybody's thinking. There's going to be a big name who's going to have a problem somewhere. You know, it could be Harvick. You don't know. It could be, you know, anybody who you expect to go further, you know. Any of those could have an issue, just like Jimmy did.
And
clearly
and
now, there's no margin for error left.
It's a funny thing. Of the Gibbs guys, the one I consider to be, I guess, the most suspect, and call me crazy, everybody does, I consider it to be Kenseth, despite the fact he's got the league-leading 5 wins. I think Kenseth might be the first one out of the 4 Gibbs guys, and it might be closely followed by Hamlin. You know, I could see Edwards and I guess Kyle going forward into the 8 in answer to your question, which I like there. All right. Good job there, Psychic. All right, here we are. What do we have? We have about 10 minutes to go. We're going to shift it over into fantasy momentarily. So here's what I'm doing. I'm putting Sidekick and I'm putting Brandon on notice. If you don't have your fantasy rosters ready, and shout out to Fred House Mike. I know he's up in the Spotters perch and he's listening. So Fred House Mike, we're going to bring you in also to give us some fantasy advice as we go into Charlotte. But what I will do is I will take just a couple of minutes to chat a real quick update on where we are in terms of Xfinity series and the truck series. Last week ago, we had Regan Smith win for the Xfinity series. That was at Dover International Speedway, the Hisense 200. He made his charge to the lead with a restart right around lap 121. He stayed there the rest of the way. And you know what he did? He did what is nearly impossible to do at the Sprint Cup level, and that was he held off the Joe Gibbs Toyotas. Denny Hamlin finished second. Kyle Busch, who led essentially the most laps with 110 and was the class of the field, he finished third. It was the first win for Regan Smith at the Monster Mile. Ryan Blaney came in fourth. Kyle Larson, another cupper, came in fifth. Now, interestingly, you know, he has yet to secure, Regan Smith, a contract for next year with Junior Motorsports or any place else. So, you know, we're hopeful that maybe Regan Smith is going to find a place to land. This week, as it passed, Junior, Dale Earnhardt Jr. did say, you know what, this started out as a hobby for me. There are so many guys I would love to be able to get in my cars. The problem is I'm an owner. I'm not a sponsor. Sponsorship runs the sport. So a lot of things are in flux as far as Regan Smith. But bottom line, it was the 6th career win. All for Junior Motorsports by Regan Smith. And it really puts him back in the conversation for Xfinity champion now because he sits in third place, just 36 points behind leader Chris Buescher and 24 points behind defending 2014 champ Chase Elliott. And that's with 5 to go. And, of course, we're running tonight. That's what's happening in Charlotte. They are going to run the drive for the Cure 300 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So if anybody's out there and you want to tune in, do so. Flip over to NBC Sportsnet at 8 o'clock, and you can catch what's going on there, and possibly, you know, Reagan Smith's going to do it. Who knows? Maybe Chase Elliott will do it. It should be a very, very fun race, although we do have a lot of cuppers in there. And, you know, obviously the details and finality remain to be determined. Taking a look over at the Camping World Trucks, and I do like that series. Last week ago, Camping World Trucks saw a first-time winner. It was last Saturday night, and it really was a night race because, you know, that didn't start for us here on the East Coast until 10 p.m. because it came from Las Vegas. But John West Townley won the Rhino Linings 350. And, you know, it was great because, I say that in quotes, it was great because the favorites, the fellas that looked like they should have won, including Eric Jones, Cameron Haley, pole sitter Matt Crafton, they all ran short of gas. So it became a fuel mileage race, and they really are fun. And I just can't help but sit back and kind of laugh about it. So what happened was eventually all of those guys, Crafton and Haley and Jones, they either pitted late to get a splash or otherwise, you know, they just allowed Townley to roll to victory. And as his crew chief told him, you know, just save over those final three laps, it became quite exciting. Well, and of course, naturally, as the front runners ran dry and they pitted, or they didn't, the finish order reflected all of that shuffle. And, well, you know, I guess nothing unexpected when you're in Vegas. You got to roll the dice and you got to make a gamble. Timothy Peters came in second, Ben Kennedy third, John came in fourth, Brandon Jones came in fifth. Now, Crafton, he eventually finished eighth. Eric Jones scored nine. Cameron Haley, who was in the lead before he ran out of gas, he scored a 10. I guess the most devastating part of last week's race would have been, and I don't know if either of you fellas saw it, but it would have been when Austin Tirio had a very scary wreck into a all-concrete wall there at Las Vegas Speedway at lap 13. So it was very early on. Obviously non-safe or barriered wall. He was driving the 29 truck for Brad Keselowski. Turned out the kid was airlifted immediately to a local hospital for evaluation. CT scan was done. He was later, you know, released. He's going to follow up with his own physician, and that I did not see anything per se that was updated since from then to now. He did suffer a compound fracture. This is something that we've seen before. Denny Hamlin had suffered a similar compound fracture at the Sprint Cup level. So it can be terribly damaging and might be career-ending. So we are hopeful that he'll return. I don't know if he's going to return to the series this year. He was not a contender per se to win the series, but at the same time, it's always devastating to see a youngster go out that way. As it turned out, okay, Eric Jones wound up, he's still in control of the series, Camping World Truck, by just 4 points. Tyler Reddick is running third. Matt Crafton, of course, is still in the hunt. He wants to repeat as a possible champion. And with five to go, the next stop for those guys is not until the 24th of October when everybody gets together and goes to Talladega. And that'll be the next plate race. So there we stand for Camping World Truck and Xfinity. Now what I want to do, let's go ahead and bring in our own sidekick. And I don't think I have the sound drop ready, but sidekick, we need some fantasy advice for, let's see, do I have it? There it is. I got it right there. Can we get some fantasy advice for for Charlotte going into the weekend?
Well, I was going to say, since we had our fantasy cut, before we get into our fantasy teams, does Fred House Mike want to update us on where we are in our league and who did it make it?
Well,
or do you want to do that after the teams?
Hello.
Yeah, there you are.
I mean, I can jump in and do that. I mean, we had, there were four teams that were eliminated, obviously. And again, I point out, unfortunately, Too Hot to Handle, which is Jen's team, Sheikah Beast was cut out. Mrs. Oliver, who won three races this past season, Nicole down in Texas, out. And, of course, sidekick, your own Spring Rubber, didn't make the cut. That was number 16. So, there it stands. I mean, everything gets reset in our league just like it does in NASCAR. Our buddy John Lennon, Miles Monster, he was leading going into this past week. But, again, like I said, everything is going to get reset now from this point.
Awesome sauce, as the kids say these
days.
There it goes.
Yep.
All right. So, the show team advances. So I will start off with that roster. And we're I got to get into the next round. So I'm swinging for the fences with this roster this week. So we're going to be running with the Kevin Harvick, the number 4. I'm running Carl Edwards, the 19. I'm running Casey Kane, the number 5. Eric Amarola, the 43, and the 26 of J.J. Yaley. I'm going with Harvick and Chevy for my manufacturer. And hoping to pick up the win and knock myself into the next round. Now, for the team that got cut, Spring Rubber in the rear got her loose. We're going to be running the number 11 of Denny Hamlin, the number 41 of Kurt Busch, the number 78 of Martin Truex Jr., the number 13 of Casey Mears, and the number 7 of Alex Bowman. I'm going with Denny Hamlin and Toyota on that team. My Eat My Dust pick, I'm going to go with last year's winner, Kevin Harvick.
Wow. That's who I rode last week to the Eat My Dust. I'll give you mine real quick. I changed things up a little bit because, I we're in the crunch time. I want to see if I can get the next round, too. I'm going to keep Harvick and Junior on my team. I jettisoned Truex and added Kyle Larson. And we're also going to go with Ryan Blaney this week and David Reagan. And I'm going to go with Dale Jr. for the win and Chevy. And Junior is my Eat My Dust pick.
There we go. All right. And I'm going to shock everybody here. All right. Lineup is this. I'm going with Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Busch, Carl Edwards, Martin Truex Jr., and David Reagan. And, folks, I don't give a damn whether he's in the chase any longer or not. I'm telling you right now, Jimmy Johnson is going to come out and spoil. Jimmy Johnson is my Eat My Dust, and he wins.
Wow.
Wow, does he sound confident or what? Unlike that whiny Jamie McMurray.
Yeah,
that,
right.
That is how you do it, boys and girls.
Yep, that's exactly how you do it.
I'm so glad to be here.
All right, 60 seconds to go. Put me down for Carl Edwards to win the thing this week. Listen, that's it. We're done. Time to go. Thank you, Fred House Sidekick. Thank you, Crew Chief Brandon. Thank you, Fred House Mike. Thank you for those who have listened. We're out of here for tonight. If you want to catch up the Xfinity race, that's running on NBC Sports Net right now, 8 o'clock. And that'll go green in about 15 minutes. Otherwise, catch us back here next week. And be sure to tune in tomorrow for Frat House Mike's Frat House Saturday at 2 o'clock p.m. and at 3 o'clock, piggyback, right behind it will be the Frat House Fantasy Friday football show. So don't you dare miss either one of those outstanding programs coming your way first thing tomorrow. Until then, until next time, enjoy the games, enjoy the racing, and don't forget to kick the tires. Bye-bye.